You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
What you need when what you really want inside can only come. your life. Running like a red disease. Running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotel Family, along with my co-host, Brother Irving Lewis. How you doing this morning, dear brother?
Good morning, Baba Oshi. Good morning, listening family. I'm feeling good, Baba Oshi.
Good.
I'm feeling really good.
Right on.
You know, I'm laughing. And we haven't even said anything yet because my spirit is happy.
Right on.
It's happy, Baba Oshi.
Right on.
The Most High woke me up this morning and gave me a message. And to me, what the Most High said to me, just like, you know, when the preacher said God told him to get that money from you. The Most High told me today to touch as many people as I can and bring them the good news. And I think that's what's happening when you're on the radio, when people can hear you that you can't see, people that can feel you that you can't see, because words are powerful.
Right on.
And I mean, everything started with a word, for far as I'm concerned. So words are powerful. We're very strategic in what we say as a people, and we have to be, because I'm telling you, Baba Oshi, if you're not on the schedule or in the room, you on the menu.
Exactly.
And we've been on the menu for a long time. Come on now.
You up,
so
man.
No, I'm happy to be here.
All right. Well, I appreciate you, dear brother. I'm glad that you're here with me today. And we're going to, you know, me and you, we're going to chop it up, man.
Baba Oshi.
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Yeah, go ahead. I wanted you.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Let's do these announcements.
Oh,
we're going to go through these announcements. And then we're going to engage in some conversation. Yeah. Yeah, you know how we do.
Yeah, get them out the way.
All right. Yes, sir. Brothers and sisters, I'm so happy, man. I got my brother with me today. So let me speed through these announcements. And the thing about these announcements is this, family, and I tried to explain it the other day when I went through many of them and why I do it. Because to me, it's not just me giving this information out, this historical and conscious information out, but it's also bringing to you the attention of things that are happening within the community and businesses and so forth that you should kind of take a look at and support if you can, you know. That's right. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific. Any other time around the world, but if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. And don't go to TuneIn. Don't go to TuneIn. Just go to timeforanawakening.com, brothers and sisters. On the right side of the page, you'll see the link for the program. If you hit that, then there you'll have the program, commercial-free, live, okay? Commercial-free, live. And so any other time that you can do that, make sure you can do that. All right. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. This program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Times are going to give our Eastern times. Tomorrow, Thursday, from 7 to 8, the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club from 78, Mississippi on the Move. Friday, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. on Friday. Saturday from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. Sunday at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening. You know, it seems to me, let me just say this, that on Friday, a lot of times there are just replays. But on Sunday, Brother Elliot always has a live program, and he sends information out about his guest on that day and the discussion that they're having. So just check it out. Just make sure. 7 p.m. on Sunday, Time for an Awakening. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. And, of course, you can use a shortcut for Baba. Just put in whatever search engine you use, whatever that is. Put in babaoshi.net, B-A-B-A-O-S-H-I.net, babaoshi.net, and there will be programs that are dated and titled, thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku, and I appreciate you, man. Now, other things that we have here on Time for an Awakening, these announcements that, like, I always talk about, of course, my brother. First, it's We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bamani Tahimba is ready to take another group of our people to the motherland for a trip of a lifetime. The next upcoming trip will be, excuse me, family, is Liberia and Morocco, March 29th to April 9th. Then July 11th to July 23rd, Ghana. November 21st to December 2nd, Kemet. December 24th to January 4th, 2025, Azinia. April 1st to April 11th, Senegal and Gambia. May 24th to June 5th, 2025, Ghana. And then November 21st to December 1st, Brazil. Well, Brother Oshie, that ain't in Africa. Well, there are more Africans in Brazil than in any country except Nigeria. And there's an area of Brazil that I'm quite sure that Brother Bamani is going to take our people to, not just in Rio or probably in some other place, but Salvador Bahia, because it is in Salvador Bahia that many of our people have maintained the culture, and that's important. Culture, for sure. Habesha, HabeshaIncorporated.org. Had a good time this past Saturday at the event at the exchange with Baba Kenneth Zaki, my good brother, where Habesha was celebrating 22 years of Reparative Agricultural Exchange, and many people got awards who are work with Habesha. Of course, Habesha is doing great work in Ghana and, of course, here locally. So I had a chance to meet many of them. And I'm going to finally get somebody from HabeshaIncorporated.org on the program. It is going to happen. Some good brothers and sisters there. And, of course, in Ghana is the Kashi Project, and I can't wait to go back to Ghana so I can look at the Kashi Project firsthand. HabeshaIncorporated.org, helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. The LEDGE program, excuse me, LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development for Group of Economics. They deal in the four areas of human necessity, of human importance, of human essential, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. And, of course, they have 12 projects in 6 different countries with over 170 employees and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the LEDGE Group. Abibi Atumi, A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I, abibiatumi.com. Brothers and sisters, Abibi Atumi is dedicated to the complete and total liberation of African people and the modern Kemet land, the Kemet Nu, the Black African people throughout the African world, from under domination by Eurasians and their anti-African, anti-Black collaborators. As such, Abibi Atumi seeks to reclaim and or create systems and tools designed by African people for the benefit of African people in the interest of complete and total African liberation, self-preservation, self-determination, and sovereignty and survival in each and every area of human activity. Abibiatumi.com, A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I, Abibiatumi.com. The Minister of Wellness The Minister of Wellness will be on the program this Friday, Brother Nathaniel Jordan, the Minister of Wellness. He will be on the program this Friday. Can't wait to make sure that happens. Go to Smy Pharmacy. Smy Pharmacy. SMAIFARMACY. Smy Pharmacy. Brothers and sisters, give Brother Jabril a call. Oh, man, his page is loaded with new products. All kinds of stuff, brothers and sisters. He's got survival stuff. He's got stuff for you, family. Go to SmyPharmacy.com. SmaiFarmacy.com. SmyPharmacy.com. Or give Brother Jabril a call at 770-765-7751. That's 770-765-7751. Smy Pharmacy. All right. Moses West Foundation. It was good to hear the other day, Brother Apollo from the Moses West Foundation, the great work that they're doing. And also, too, for the young brother, man. Yeah, that was great, that young brother. I'm going to get him on the have lunch with him, man. It's a good young brother, man. He's doing great work. And Brother Paul hit me to him. Brother Apollo. Apologize, Brother Paul. I just seen message from Brother Paul. But yeah, good young brother, man, Julian Brown. So he's right here in Atlanta with Plastic to Fuel. Yeah, me and Brother Irv were talking about we got to find ways. Brother needs to get protection because, man, he's messing with folks who have big money. And if you bring something to the table, either you're going to get bought out or you're going to get, yeah. So the Moses West Foundation doing great work as always, you know, and with the atmospheric water generator, you know, and can't speak enough of how important that is because water is the elixir of life. Without water, there is no life. Yep. Well, Dada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar located here in Atlanta in the West End. I'm Ralph David Abernathy. I'm serving delicious smoothies, fruit drinks, and all kinds of dry goods and so forth. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Give them a call at 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore. Medu means writings. Nature means gods. The writing of the gods. The Medu Nature. So it's not hieroglyphs, family. Don't say hieroglyphs. Say Medu Nature. But the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, that's Mama Nia. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, T-shirts, figurines, and so much more. She has an area where she has book signings and programs and information. And so give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore we promote is Brother Gazinde Ajamu, the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. Lithonia is east of here. You take I-20, head east, take exit 74, make a left. Now you're headed north for about a mile. On the left will be Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. That's right, my good brother Gazinde Ajamu. Give him a call at 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. Brothers and sisters, there is light in the Black Dot. Jump back in your ride, head back the other direction. Now you're going south. And when you come to I-20, make a left again. You're headed east. The very next exit, exit 75, Turner Hill Road. You take that exit, make a right, three lights. Make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. Yeah. Good things happening there, brothers. You know, I truly want that thing to succeed. I really do. I want it to succeed, family. Us Lifting Us. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Of course, tomorrow evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, they're Thursday night broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us. If you want to call to listen or if you have a question, comment, or concern, dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. That's right, Macon, Georgia, 2910 Napier Avenue. They're open from Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Brother Abijah has got it going on. So give Brother Abijah a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. The Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. That's going to be inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. That's right, my good sister Shelly Almond said, I got another hoodie coming from them brothers and sisters. Yeah, they gave me my hoodie with Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Everything, Khalid. I love it. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Strong brother. Strong black man. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park inside the International Booth 225. My sister Shelly Amonset's number is 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sanjay-Haiti, that's Sister Gabby, and the work that she is doing in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti is monumental. Working with our children, they need help and they need resources. Brothers and sisters, they rely on us. So please go to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E, dash, Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org. Sanjay, dash, Haiti.org. All right. Baba Barudi and Mama Ya at the Institute, the work that they're doing, we can't speak enough about it. Believe me, the work that they're doing is phenomenal. And of course, Baba Barudi, you can go to Ackerman Institute and you can use PayPal, yabarudi@yahoo.com, or you can use Cash App, $YAA, the letter M, Barudi, P-A-R-U-T-I. Okay. And also, too, if you want to buy books, AckermanHouse.com, AckermanHouse.com. All right. The Inya Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought, the Inya Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Okay. February 6th. Perhaps to be sane in a society is the best evidence of insanity. I repeat, perhaps to be sane in this society is the best evidence of insanity. Addison Gale. Warriors need not get caught up in current events because, as our warrior ancestor, Dr. John Henry Clark taught us, history is a current event. And therefore, if we are to understand what is happening and will happen, we must understand historical behavior, historical patterns. I said earlier, you know, of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. Look at the history, historical patterns. Patterns which so easily reveal the spirit of Urugu's innate ugliness, regardless of their visible role in the immediate chaos and or confusion which any particular current event brings. This is not to say that warriors should not be aware. When you historically know Urugu and their genocidous allies within and outside of our culture, awareness can be critical to employing current corrective action. Warriors should just not get caught up in the latest issues to the point of becoming so distracted from their African minds that they cannot see what is going on and what is coming. Affirm, I am considered entirely insane within you, within Urugu's reality. Okay, confirm, I am considered entirely insane within Urugu's reality. That's a fact. When you talk about being African, you are considered insane. When you talk about changing your name, when you talk about doing these things with African people, you are considered insane because you recognize the insanity that you're in. February 7th. It is a people's culture, their shared creativities and struggle as they evolve over time and space, that defines their essence. Culture is the tie that binds. I repeat, culture is the tie that binds. If there is no shared culture, there is no group, no unity, no solidarity. This is why the engine of a group's oppression is always cultural genocide. Nana Balfour, Dr. Asa Hilliard. Our fundamental culturally reinforced lesson we need to grasp is of the nature of struggle. The nature of any struggle is pain. There is no way around it. One does not exist without the other. However, the goal of all meaningful struggle is to prepare individuals within the group to overcome even greater pain in pursuit of self-determination. For pain is not the enemy. It is the teacher. Repeat, pain is not the enemy. It is the teacher. Only through the struggle with pain are warriors tempered to remove the enemy within and without. Ashe. Affirm, African culture is my immune system. Affirm, African culture is my immune system. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sisim of daily revolutionary thought. Ashe. Man, those are two good ones. They're all good. They are. Man, Baba Barudian. Man, what a brother. I tell you, love him. Love him. Yeah. Culture. African culture, man. Brother Irv, I tell you. I'm happy that God, just like Martin R. Delaney said, I'm happy that God made me a black man. You know, I'm happy that God made me an African. I'm happy. I'm happy that I was born from my mother, who were very, if you see me or know me, you know I have this hair and this skin. But my mother was a dark-skinned woman who I loved dearly. Who I loved dearly. That's why, to me, if I trace any DNA, I'm tracing it through her. I don't want DNA to go back to Ireland or some shit like that.
Yeah. You're three parts Irish and you're 2%.
Yeah.
Come on.
Or you're my daughter told me when she did a test. I said, "Well, you trace it through. Hope you didn't trace it through me. You trace it to your mama because you know, came up part European Jew." I said, "What?
Really?
Yeah,
really.
A European Jew.
And you paid for that? Okay, you good for you." So, it was a lady. It was a white lady. Her name is Elliot, and she had a I don't know what she had, a premonition or whatever that she just gone. Call people out. So she asked these white folks in this meeting, anybody in the audience want to trade places with a black person? Raise your hand. Even the black people didn't raise their hand.
Right. I know.
The black people didn't want to be black.
That's right.
Huh?
They know.
How do you not?
They know. They know what's happening. They know. In this society, no doubt. Would you want to be black? In this society, yes. I want to be black any and everywhere I am. Okay, but I understand that you live in a society that is totally against being African, totally against being black. You are going to ostracized. You are going to be humiliated. You're going to be denigrated. Right. You're going to be demeaned because that's what this society does. And it doesn't make any difference over the time. It's still the same way. It's still the same treatment. So, yeah.
Still the same treatment. And then she said, by the mere fact that no one raised their hand, you know that black people catching hell. You know it. Because if I'd have said anybody want to trade places with Jeff Bezos, everybody would have stood up.
Yep.
But you already know they catching hell, and you don't want to be a part of it.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
That's right.
Osha, you said something earlier about the brother that talked about taking the plastic and making it into a fuel, which he's done already. And I've called in and talked with that brother with you yesterday. That was amazing. Not yesterday, Monday. It was amazing. And we asked him about his safety and make sure when you go up against these corporations and these people who are making tons of money off of dirty fuel. It reminded me of Dr. Sabi. Dr. Sabi went to court and won a case because he cured cancer.
Yeah.
He actually did it.
Yeah, well, he cured AIDS. He said, I can do it. And he laid it all out in proving that it could be done.
And the next thing you know, he ain't breathing no more.
That's right.
Huh? All of a sudden, he ain't breathing. Magic Johnson went to Dr. Sabi, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I say alleged for the station's sake. But Magic Johnson never speaks of him because he can't.
Right.
He can't. He goes against all the partners he has and all the teams that he owns and all the predator businesses that he owns in the black community.
Yeah.
So, no, brother. But that's very interesting to me that this brother, now he has to worry about his safety along with everything else that he's doing. But the things they're doing are huge.
Yeah.
The things that he's doing with plastic is going to change everything.
Yes, it is a game changer, man.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. He's the change that he talks about. But the reality is with white folks is they are advancing themselves right back to the Stone Age. Think about it, Baba Oshie. When the young people, they don't even call each other. They text each other. Mm-hmm. Well, Baba Oshie, texting is just a telegram, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, so they're sending telegrams to each other. They don't know it's a telegram, but they think it's something because they labeled it something else. It's a telegram.
Mm-hmm.
You're sending telegrams to each other.
Just like it was done back in the 1800s. You know, you say a few words, stop. Say a few words, stop, and that's it. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yep, stop. Yep, and he sends back a message, stop. Mm-hmm. So the white people have gotten us to advance backwards with the labeling and the conversation, but it's nothing new under the sun. I think I was speaking to you earlier about the Pope and the grooming that the Pope is participating in, because this is grooming. Mm. When you say that he's going to bless homosexual marriages, and he says if I bless a businessman who exploits a person, you don't say anything about that. But if I bless a homosexual, about that sin. But if I bless a homosexual, you say something. Well, did you say that the homosexuality was a sin? Because the Bible says that. The Bible that you gave me says that. But you won't call them a sin because your money comes from them. Let's keep it 100. The lights stay on because of these people. And whoever keeps the lights on, that's who you're going to pray, you're going to talk to. When you go in the Baptist church, is a bunch of women. You think they in there telling them women to obey your husband? No, they ain't telling them to do that. Why? Because they ain't got no husband. Because you can't have a husband when you come in here looking at me. You need to look at me. I'm the pastor. You don't need I need you to be like you are.
Mm-hmm.
Hurting. And, oh, I wish I had a man. When you keep coming here, God's going to get you one. Because I know God. He calls me on my cell phone every Thursday. So really? Really? And you're falling for that? And how long do you do that?
Right.
Because what happens is anything that good happens to you, that pastor is going to say it's because of him. But anything bad that happens to you, oh, we can blame that on Satan. So it's a win-win for the church. They can't lose because the government looks at the Baptist church where did Biden go to? The first place he went to get votes, the church. Mm-hmm. That's the only organization the longest organization that we have in the black community is the church.
Right.
Anything you want to do, you have to go to the NAACP goes to the church. Urban League goes to the church because the church is organized. But once the church was taken over, it's a wrap.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wrap because the core of the church doesn't make sense. And when you have someone that actually pulls the covers back on these homosexuals, you know, and I'm not just talking about the choir director, I'm talking about the pastors and the deacons. When you pull the cover back on these people, because they're human beings like you and me, and you see that the things that they're doing to imitate their Urugu masters. See, when you're in someone else's culture, Baba Oshie, you have to either assimilate or integrate. Mm-hmm. And ain't no, in integration, you lose your identity. To assimilate, you lose everything that you know, all that you know. That's why you wear his clothes. You fight each other over a hairpiece or a wig with this laid down hair, you know, that Madam C.J. Walker supposedly helped all these sisters by teaching them how to lay their hair down so that they can look like white people when they're taking care of their children. Yeah. So no, Baba, when you're working for somebody, I watched the basketball game the other night. Kyrie Irving came out on the court. He played the Nets, and they booed him. They booed Kyrie Irving.
Oh, yeah.
So they're
going to boo Kyrie in a number of venues, Cleveland, Boston particularly, you know, because he left them and went other places. And, of course, he's now in Dallas. And,
well, they said he was anti-Semite.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he dropped 35 on him in the win. He dropped 35 on him and then shook hands and left.
Yeah, and told
because
me.
See,
he dropped 35 and told me, shalom. leave
you,
me the hell shalom.
And I love it. I love it because these people, if you disagree with them, they find a category to put you in. You're either going to be a homophobic, anti-Semite. They got to put you in a category so that we can push you to the side. But you can't be out front because somebody might mess around and listen to you. Mm-hmm. And once they listen to you, Baba Oshi, when you said that, Yenye Saisen, I mess it up all the time. I'm so sorry. But when you said that, that made me think, Baba. When you act African, you crazy. What's wrong with you, man? You got it good over here. Why are you acting all African?
Right.
You don't even. You ain't never been
you
to Africa.
Be
no, I've been to Africa, bro.
You must be insane to be African, to act African, to speak African, to dress African, to do African. You must be insane. That's I love Mama Nabantu who does that to be African, man. Maybe we can try to talk Mama Nabantu. She get on the horn that. Maybe we can end our program with that. That's a beautiful piece, yeah. Yeah, it's a beautiful
that would be
piece.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That would be beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, one more thing before I forget. When you don't vote, you do vote. I believe you should vote in your local election. I think you should vote for your school board and all the people that directly impact you. But why is it when Obama got in office, the first thing black people said, he ain't gonna be able to do nothing because he just a figurehead. Okay, so what I vote for him for? But yet, when Biden is running, oh, we gotta vote for Biden. We gotta vote for him. Why is it that Biden can do so much more than Obama could? Because you live in a racist country and you don't wanna see that.
Mm-hmm.
But a brother used to get on this radio show, Baba Oshi, and I love the brother. I think his name is Brother Rick. I'm not sure. He would always talk about stop telling everybody what you doing, where you going, what color your car is, where you live. Shut up. Mm-hmm. And my thing is, a white boy said something to me one time at the fire station. I was sitting at the table, and the white guys was talking. They were saying a lot of sensitive things. And he said, I'm going to say one thing to you. And he was a captain. He was behind the station. He ain't going to stop talking. You can talk all you want. He said, I'm going to tell you one thing. When you talk, make sure you know who's at the table.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
So what he was saying was, there's some consequences. Freedom of speech, you can say anything you want. But there are consequences for your speech.
Mm-hmm.
And what this brother said, if we're going to have a plan as a people, We can only let Arugo hear so much of the plan.
Right.
Yeah, come on now. Because everybody
you can't tell the enemy the details of what you're going to do.
Come on now.
Kidding?
That don't make sense.
They will sabotage you. And you know that.
Yeah.
They will make sure that they find a way to disrupt anything and everything that you're trying to do, particularly if it is challenging them and their authority.
That's right.
You know,
and they'll use people that look just like you
exactly to do it. No doubt.
Come on now, you always got a Judas in the bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 40 silvers ago, he'll sell you and all your friends down the road. But he won't be able to live with himself because he's become like a lot of these African leaders in this ECOWAS. They become economic puppets for the West.
Yeah.
And their time is over. Their days were numbered anyway, but their time is over. That's why you have Chad. You have Nigeria. You have what is it? Burkina Faso. There's not a coup. It's a revolution. Just like this country was born out of revolution and slavery, but they had they're taking over so that the government can reflect the people.
Well, see, I think that's the more understanding revolution and direction that we must go as a people of African descent, of African people on the continent and throughout the diaspora, that we need to evolve in that way, because it's ludicrous, ridiculous, and asinine that here we are sitting on all these resources and we have the ability to do for ourselves independently of anybody else if we come together, if we stop all this tribalism, we stop all this division, you know, we stop all this bullshit about Africa is 54 so-called sovereign nations. Damn that. No, they're not. And many of us believe they're not. These are the divisions that are happening, that how they can play one against the other. The main thing that the European has always done is divide and conquer. They did that back in the ancient days with the Greeks and later the Romans and anybody, then the Arabs and everybody else. The bottom line is we need unity. We need functional unity as African people. Right. You know, we need to wake our ass up, throw off all these divisions, all these only the trivial things. Now, I mean, if you want to recognize your cultural things that are specific, that's fine. But the most important thing of you as a as far as the culture is concerned, just you are African. African, and we speak that way. From light, bright, and damn near white to blue, black, we are African. And let's now work together, because once that happens, dear brother, Brother Irv, it's over. It's over. Colonialism, all the divisions, all the raping and then pillaging of and we're going to get our shit back. Can you still today, just recently, I talked about it on the program, I think a couple weeks ago, about European talking about, no, we're not giving you back the stuff we stole from you, but you can borrow it. We can give it to you on loan. Are you kidding? How does that sound?
We're borrowing your own stuff. That don't even make sense. That's why OJ went to jail. They tried to sell him his own memorabilia. Come on now.
Yeah.
You're trying to sell me my own stuff. That does not even make sense, Baba Oshi. But they're doing it now. They're separating us in this country. They're trying to separate the homosexual blacks from the light-skinned blacks, from the single blacks to the married blacks, all the blacks from the Africans from the colors from the minorities. I heard a guy call himself a minority the other day on TV. Me, being a minority, you're minor? You're minor? Minor to who?
Yeah.
Who are you minor to?
Yeah,
there are more people, or people of color. This is another one that they play the labeling game. You know, the black people and the people of color. Why is our wagon always hitched to someone else's wagon? I was on a Instagram yesterday, and these people were staunch Democrats, and they sounded so serving. In other words, they were strategic not to say anything that would upset Irugu. I mean, they were Biden people hand over fist, but they wouldn't say anything that would go against the powers that's in. And I couldn't understand that these people they couldn't hear themselves. And I didn't say anything. I'm listening, because I already know that once I say what I got to say, they're going to boot me off or block me or, you know, come on, bruh. But this, the divide and conquer is how Irugu operates here and overseas.
That's right.
And so, but the thing is, Baba Oshi, and I keep saying this, and people are starting to relieve me. The internet is the trump card. That's why you still got to pay for the internet, and you shouldn't have to pay for the internet. You would make more money on the internet if it was free everywhere, because the internet is no more than a big shopping mall. The internet's for buying things. It's good, but the information piece is the part they don't like. That's why it's what they call it, fake news now, misinformation and fact checking, because they slip the truth in that internet, and they don't want that.
Yeah.
All they want you to do is get on and go to Amazon and buy some stuff, man, and just keep buying stuff that you don't need with money you ain't got for people who don't want it, huh? But this is. Here comes Valentine's Day. Who the hell is Valentine? A little naked man with wings shooting people in the ass with an arrow? Who is?
Well, you know, in the history, I used to explain on the program in history the historical Valentine. Because there was a dude named Valentine who was a priest and so forth during the Roman times, and they didn't want I think Caligula, I think that's who was in charge, one of the more dastardly Roman emperors was in charge, who did not want the men to marry, because if men married, then there would be, you know, for long during the time of war, and wanted to get back to their wives, they couldn't be the fighting men that they needed and wanted, to defeat whatever foe came upon them, you know. So some men got married secretly through Valentine. Valentine would marry him. Well, then they caught him, and they sent him to prison. They sent Valentine to prison, and while in prison, there was the jailer's daughter who was blind, you know, took a liking to him and gave him food and so forth, and they shared conversation, and upon his execution, he sent her a letter thanking her for her kindness and all the things that she did, and he signed it, "Your Valentine," you know. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's how
that's it. That's the historical thing. You can look that up in all the historical stuff that's online.
How did it manifest into chocolate and flowers?
And roses and so forth. Well, that's the whole thing. You know, that's been happening. They've been celebrating it that way in terms of giving something on that day to a loved one. And then it evolved to candy and flowers and marriage proposals and weddings and so forth.
Restaurants.
So, I mean, that's great for those businesses. You know, you're right. You know,
they monetize. They monetize.
Everything is monetized. Shit. In fact, if it's not there, they'll find a way to make it. Just like Christmas. If they didn't have Christmas, it would be invented. There's always going to be ways to get your money. Sweetest Day. Was that in October or some shit like that? Yeah, Sweetest Day. You know, another day. This day from, you know, the card makers, the candy makers, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. So especially in a capitalistic society, you have to move that money, get that money, move that money around, you know. So,
When did a rabbit... When did the rabbit start pooping chocolate eggs? I've never seen that, but that's another story.
That's coming up real soon too, man.
Bob Oshie, when they blend this fake religious holiday into holidays, that starts to blur the line.
Yeah.
See, but you told me about some guy, some fairy tale, you know. But then again, people call it a fairy tale.
Sure.
So keep it moving.
Sure.
But when you told me about this fairy tale with Valentine, do I believe it or do I not believe it? But when you link that to the resurrection, to the Bible, to the Word of God, to the unseen, then it becomes blurry. Mm-hmm. Now it becomes more than just a bunny rabbit. Or kitty disco, or dressing up, because now you got the pastor in the church doing communion. Come on now, we took it somewhere else. Now you're pulling at my heartstrings, and now I'm scared, because you got to remember, religion works off of fear. It works off of fear and belief. If you believe it, you don't need no proof.
Right.
If you're right. If you're scared of it, you don't need no proof either because you're scared. Well, yeah. You know, fire and brimstone say, you're going to hell. You ain't scared of hell? Let me tell you about hell. Mm-hmm. The way I hear it, it's really bad. It's like being on fire forever. So if you've ever burned your hand, that's my prayer, you tell me this. You ever burn your finger, that's how hell feels forever.
Forever.
And I thought about that, Baba Oshie. If I'm ever. Like that forever, I'm going to pass out, ain't I? Because I remember, Baba Oshie, to give you a true story real quick, and I don't mean to rub my mouth and go on and on, but in my personal life, I was mowing our lawn at the house, at my mother's house, and it's a hill. And I slipped down the hill and pulled the lawnmower back on my foot. And the lawnmower cut through my tennis shoe and cut my toe off.
Really?
I'm not lying. This is a true story.
That's my story. That's my story, man. Same shit happened to me.
I'm not lying. I cut my toe. And wait a minute. I didn't take my shoe off. I screamed. My father came out. He grabbed me and put me in the car. And off we went to the hospital. By the time I got to the hospital, Baba Oshie, I was unconscious. In the
really?
Car. And, and they did emergency surgery and put my toe back on. And I can show you the scar to this day. But the point I'm making is, if I'm going to hell and I'm going to burn forever, I'm pretty much going to pass out. Because the hospital was only 10 minutes down the street. I was unconscious by then. All I remember is waking up. That's it. Waking up in the hospital with my foot. That actually happened to me, Baba Oshie. I'm not lying. I wouldn't make that up.
That happened to me, man. I bought these new Converse tennis shoes. Converse back in the late 60s, early 70s, came out with some tennis shoes, suede. They were suede, you know, and the different colors. Mine's were red that I bought. Saved my money up, man, because they were expensive, you know. And so I'm mowing lawn, and once again, you're right, mowing downhill. I slipped.
Right.
My foot went up into the lawnmower. Red shit started flying every which way.
Woo!
Yeah. But fortunately, I didn't cut any of my toes, you know.
Wow.
And unfortunately, my mother didn't buy me a new pair of shoes either. You know, yeah, that's why – and I've been to, I think, two runs I remember for sure were on the job, on the fire department, where a young man cut his toe off, you know, and where he had to find the digit, you know, put in the plastic bag, then wrap ice around it to keep it cool, and then send that off with him so maybe they can reattach the digit like they did for you, you know.
Yeah, they can repeat that. If I had not let go of the lawnmower, it probably would have cut my whole damn foot off. When I hit my foot, I immediately let it, because you got to hold the thing. This lawnmower, you had to hold it to the handle to keep it on.
Right.
And once I let go of that handle, the lawnmower
fell
off. I fell down, and it pretty much saved my foot. But I didn't know, Baba Oshie, that if you don't get your foot put back on, your toe, you may not be able to stand balance. I did not know that. I didn't know that the God that we serve is so magnificent.
Yeah.
That every piece of your body works in precision.
That's right.
In precision.
In concert with all others. But I mean, there's other things that you learn to adapt to, you know, because something is gone, you learn to adapt to. But that's the beauty
amazing.
Of that.
Even that's amazing, Baba Oshie, for you to be able to compensate for that. So when you have a man that's telling you, an 11-year-old tells you that he wants to cut his penis off because he wants to be a girl. Come on now, stay with me just for a second.
Yeah.
He wants to be a girl. Do you think that's in God's plan? Do you really believe that that's what you're supposed to do at 13, 12, and 11 years old? You know that you want to do that, and the school is helping him to do it in spite of his parents? Mm. And this is what Arugu is doing, and I don't give a damn what he does. I just don't want American Africans to follow these people down that greasy chute.
No, that's
because
right,
that's
brother.
What's happening right now.
Yeah.
When you let your children sit on the lap of a grown man dressed up like a woman, drag queen story hour, and he's grooming your child. Because Baba Oshie, when I was young, you could sit. I saw a video really quickly of a little. It was a stack of Oreo cookies, and it was $10,000 on this side of the table.
Wow.
They asked the little boy, which one do you want?
Right, right. I said, yeah.
And yeah. He grabbed the cookies.
Went the cookies. The little boy.
He went to, so how is this child, yeah. How is he going to know that he wants to, his penis cut off, that he wants to wear girl clothes? Somebody told him that. Mm-hmm. No, and this TV is telling you it's all right to be gay. I looked at the commercial the other day, little gay guy on there just jumping around. I said, come on. What yeah. Don't you understand how powerful these images are to our children? This is powerful, Baba Oshi. And yeah. And I learned through seeing. And if I see that, then it must be all right. It's on TV. So now, we have to speak on it. I mean, some people may say, oh, man, you talk about that all the time. You need to stop talking about it. Okay. That's what they said in Germany when Hitler put all them Jews in them and burned them up in them and put them in them gas chambers.
Yeah.
So let's stop talking about it, because when you stop talking about it, that's when evil prevails, when there is silence.
Well, the other thing is that they talk about it constantly. It's constantly in your face. As I mentioned to you in our conversation a while ago, is that, you know, very few, 10 or so years ago, very few commercials were on dealing with interracial, having a black woman and white man, whatever, da da da, and then a homosexuality, having guys kissing on television. Oh no, you know, you wouldn't see that 15, 20 years ago. No, no way. But you see it constantly every day. Because why? They're over and over again, you're being conditioned. But listen, I'm going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to open the phone lines up so you two can get into this conversation with me and Brother Irv Lewis. So we're going to take a break. So, brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network for Time for Awakening.com and BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com.
I'm flying, man.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Grover Washington Jr., Mr. Magic, 1974. Man. Yeah, he was born in Buffalo, New York in 43, and he died. December 12th, he was born, and December 17th of 1999, he passed in Manhattan of a heart attack. Grover Washington Jr., a jam master. That man, when that song came out, man, that was one that cut across all those lines. It was jazz, but it was also funk. It was also rhythm and blues. It was everything. You heard that song. any party you went to, you're going to hear that song, and you're going to get up and jam.
That was a fantastic song, Baba Oshie. You know, I don't know if you know this, but I'm an avid roller skater. Ah. I've been roller skating for years.
Yeah.
And that's a staple at the roller skating rink when I came up to play Grover Washington Jr., man. Yeah. And that was him and Bill Withers and, you know, that type of stuff. So, yeah. Yeah, those guys were phenomenal, man. Yeah. I was really sad to hear that he had passed. I didn't know. Well, you know, you never know who's sick and what's going on.
Right.
But I was really sad.
Yeah, me too. And it was because number one, it was a big surprise. It was once again he was performing, and he was in the dressing room, and he dropped, he fell, and they took him to the hospital, and they could not revive him. He died of a massive heart attack on that day.
And that was
in
it,
New York. Yep, and that was it in New York. So. Man,
yeah,
it was great, man. It was great. And that song was fantastic. Yeah. People jammed
that whole album.
Hey,
that whole album was, yep, that was a good album.
Mr. Magic,
1974.
Yeah.
Mr. Magic.
Brothers and sisters, if you want to gain, we had a number of people in the queue. Some have left. But if you want to get in on this conversation, give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We're on the call here and talking about whatever you want to talk about. Okay.
Sure, bring them on.
Yeah, bring them on. So.
Bring it on.
Let me get Mama Nabantu. Mama Nabantu, are you there?
I am here.
All right.
Mama Nabantu, how are you, my sister?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good to hear your voice. Fantastic.
All right. Good to hear yours.
Mama Nabantu, you know, at the end of the program, right before we sign off, would you, if you're still around, would you be willing to be African, do African, speak African? The African pledge? The African pledge? I always love when you do it.
Yeah, I don't have a problem doing that.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you
so
much.
I just said I have to do it exactly at 1 o'clock because I'll be at my therapist.
Okay.
And before I walk in the door, I'll do it.
Okay.
And I'll be 2 minutes late.
Okay. Well, we'll make sure when we do it, it'll be like at least about 4 or 5 minutes before that time. Okay.
Okay.
All right. How you doing? When are we going to have the Pan-African Federalist Movement come on the program and talk about what's going on with the Pan-African Federalist Movement locally, nationally, and, of course, internationally, because the Pan-African Federalist Movement is an international organization, and the whole idea is to one Africa, unify Africa. You know, we talked about that at the beginning of the program, that, you know, the problem with Africa, all these, you know, they want to believe that there's 54 sovereign nations. Hell, they ain't 54 sovereign nothing on the continent. There. All of them are still, some of them, but they're gaining their independence, as Brother Irv has pointed out, that some of these countries are gaining the strength to reject Europeans, to reject France, and to reject all these other countries that have been ripping them off for decades, if not centuries.
Centuries.
Yeah.
What about the 16th?
The 16th? The 16th sounds great. The 16th sounds great, family. You heard it right here. 16. That's right. On the air. That's next week, Friday, family.
Next Friday.
Next Friday. Yeah. Okay, the 16th. The Pan-African Federalist Movement will be on. We'll have some representatives, Brother Sam, maybe whoever.
It could be Sam and Ansato. We might have both of them on.
Beautiful. Good. We'll talk about what's going on.
And possibly Auntie, too. Auntie.
Okay, Baba Auntie. Yeah, good. All right.
Okay.
Look forward
to it.
Okay, my sister. All right. Thank you.
Right.
Hotel. Yeah.
Fantastic. Sounds good. Yeah. Sounds fantastic. Mm-hmm. Really sounds good.
Well, you know, anytime, you know, you can give organizations that are definitely about doing something for our people, you give them that time, you know, to further explain what they're doing, and hopefully others will hear about it, maybe inquire, maybe join, or maybe contribute, all these things. Because, I mean, I say those things at the beginning of the program to hopefully maybe somebody will go further, look them up, go and look them up, but more importantly, support them, you know?
Right.
You know,
right.
You know, financially or within time, because that's how organizations grow. That's how they grow.
No, you're absolutely correct. And Baba Oshi, I truly believe that the message is getting out and someone will act on the message, because things that we take for granted, Baba Oshi, about Africa and about us being African, some American Africans have never heard this. They have no idea who they are.
Yeah.
They're waving flags and they're saying, I am an American. I love this country, even though the country doesn't love me, but I love this country. And we're going to forget about all that stuff that happened way back then, Baba Oshi.
Yeah.
It's not happening now. Arugo ain't enslaving nobody. Arugo wouldn't take raw minerals from a continent and not pay market price for them. Arugo wouldn't send people in to destabilize a government. Arugo wouldn't have a people thinking that they can't grow their own food in their continent, that they need aid. We don't need aid in Africa.
Right.
We can govern ourselves. We taught you how to govern. We mapped the stars. We built the pyramids. Stop it.
Yep.
I don't need you to help me do a damn thing.
Not a damn thing.
You should have brought them to the boat. You shouldn't have let them get off the goddamn boat. But my point is, we are our eyes have opened, the light has shined, and their days are numbered. And I mean that.
Yeah.
Their days are numbered.
It has to come to an end. We cannot, you know, have this, especially in the age that we are, where you can see information, you can look at the history physically, you can go to these places, you know, you can see what's happening now, and then you can begin to prepare for the future. You know, I don't have any quotes, but I felt I came up with this quote: we must learn from our history so we can understand the present, so we can prepare for our future. Maybe I didn't, but that came to my mind early on, because I understood the importance of history.
Yeah.
The importance of history, because it shapes what's happening now. So if you want to have a future, you got to learn from the past. You got to understand the past. That's why that Malcolm quote has always been so deep for me. You know, we must of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. History,
that
look
is
at
correct.
The history. And so for me, I looked at the history of us as it relates to Caucasians. It's not good. It is not good, and it's not intended to be good.
Right.
You know.
But what they want us to believe is they want us to believe not to believe our lying eyes.
Yeah.
They want us to see the history and say, it wasn't that bad. I don't feel the pain. I do feel the pain.
Yeah.
My ancestors speak to me every day.
Yeah.
My ancestors speak to you. They speak to any American, African, or any conscious person, or even person that's not conscious. I see Africa in them. I see Africa in your eyes. Africa's in you, whether you're in Africa or not. So the point I'm making is I feel my ancestors. I woke up talking to my ancestors. I went to bed speaking to them. I have African art on my walls that remind me every day that I'm African.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a bad thing to be African. It's a beautiful
thing.
Because when you're African, you're content.
Yeah. For some reason, once I became a conscious individual, I don't mean that I had some the sky cracked open. I mean, when I started to realize what was going on and how I was being manipulated, things opened up in me that made me calmer. I'm calm now. Before I was nervous, I was confused. I was trying to get answers that I wasn't getting. I was asking people who said they didn't know, and most of them didn't. Mm-hmm. And then when I did read my history, I started realizing this is what's been missing. Because when something is missing, you can't be whole. You can't be complete. And that's what this bullshit religion does, excuse me for cussing, does for you. It fills that void. It feels that place in your life where, you know, if anything go wrong, I can show ass Jesus will help me.
Yeah.
You know, that I got somebody to lean on. I can have a crutch that I can use to get me where I need to go. But when you understand who you are, you realize that Africans weren't savages. They Africans had spirituality. Africans knew what they were talking about. They weren't just running around with a bone in their nose and a rag up their ass. That's a quote from Baba Oshie. No, my brother.
Yes,
when
right.
you
There's
feel that
Oshie
space,
quote.
But that's colors in, brother.
But you know what? That's what they always wanted to give us in that image and in that reference. That's what they wanted to give us to make us believe that we never done anything. And nothing could be further from the truth, man. You know?
No. You couldn't be anything without me. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be in this country. If it wasn't for you, if you hadn't kidnapped me,
I'd be at home.
I'm playing. Yeah. I didn't come through Ellis Island. Who the hell is Ellis? You know, I don't want no civil rights. Who the hell is civil?
Not them.
I want
not them. They ain't civil. Not them.
Ain't nothing civil about Ringo.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing civil about him. He eats his children. He is a devil. He's evil. But we keep saying, he was bad. The next one going to be all right. Just keep on. I was watching this today, the news. They showing some guy in Nashville. He's shoe shining in the airport.
Right.
And they did a whole story on him.
Right.
And he's gonna be at the old Opry the night.
Grand
old
Opry,
he's shining shoes in the airport. And they thought that was something that my children need to see. Yeah. My children don't need to see no black man shining no shoes for no white man.
Yeah.
That's not the image I need my kids to have in their head. But you won't show the black airline pilot, or you won't show the black CEO that owns the companies, or the hedge fund manager that's black. But you want to show me a shoe shine. It looked like the B&O Railroad ran through his mouth. He needs to get some dental work. He don't need to be on TV shining white people's shoes. Let me stop. I love my people.
Yeah,
I got
too.
Love. So, is anybody on the boys? You got to bring anybody up.
Yeah.
Or did they all?
No,
they
everybody. Everybody left us, man.
They left us, Papa.
Yeah. They said, let those two cats, man, just chop it up. No, you can join me. You know you can join this conversation by dialing 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. You're listening to African Perspectives. Man, I tell you.
Hey, Papa Oshie, if you don't laugh, you'll be sitting on this radio crying.
Because it's
because
not funny.
We laugh.
Yeah.
It's not.
You know, when I talk about this month, you know, at the beginning of the month, and I've always done this for many years, even when particularly with the young people that I worked with, I told them, at the beginning of the month, I told them, and I used to ask them, why is February Black History Month? And really, this is sad because nobody knew. Nobody knew, at least the schools I work with, because the schools I work with, these are the kids who, some of them just are out of pocket, you know. So nobody knew. Nobody knew about Carter G. Woodson. Nobody knew why he did what he did and so forth and so on. So I had to tell them the story, you know, and had to tell them the story and about Carter G. Woodson, why he did what he did, you know. Even going all the way to Harvard to get a doctorate degree, he was the second American African to get a doctorate degree. Du Bois was the first. And, of course, Du Bois was intellectual giants, except that, you know, the fact that his ass was insane when he dealt with Marcus Garvey and all the stupid shit he did to get Garvey imprisoned and deported.
Yeah, but then, he was integration.
But then Du Bois came to his senses, you know, because mm-hmm. he helped start the Niagara Movement and the NAACP with all those European Jews and shit. And then now he said, man, forget this. This is crazy. He left America.
Went to Africa.
He went to Ghana. He went to Ghana. And in Accra is the Du Bois Center. I've been there many times. The Du Bois Center.
But in his wake, and I loved his ancestor, Du Bois, he left a trail of broken men. Because he came from Marcus Garvey.
Yeah, and he also,
was an intellectual.
Yeah, he also challenged George Washington Carver. Booker T. Washington.
Booker T. Washington, Brother Trotter. All these great men, he came for them because he was so intelligent.
Yeah.
But he finally realized that I was born into this and I'm going to die and this stuff is going to still be going on.
Yeah.
Because these Urugu got a good thing going, Baba Osha. You think they're going to just, we're going to give you some reparations. They ain't going to give you a damn thing.
Ain't nothing. So he wound up going to Ghana, and he was going to write the Africana Encyclopedia, which, of course, he did not complete before his death. But the point is that Carter G. Woodson, being the second American African to get a doctorate degree from Harvard University, and what he used that degree for, to be an administrator, to be a principal in a black school in Washington, D.C. You know, and I'm saying it to say, not that that was degrading, because having a doctorate degree from Harvard in education, but the bottom line is, he went, you know, in fact, he had to work for his family. He had to work in the coal fields of West Virginia. He was working in the coal mines of West Virginia, and he couldn't go to school. And so finally he was able to go. He was 22 years old, and he finished high school in 2 years in a high school in Hampton that he heard about. So he got that degree. And there's a saying in Islam. There's a saying in Islam that they, because, you know, men and women, we as men and women, we must work together. So they who put their foot on the path to seeking knowledge, they go in the way of God until they return. What it's saying is that you never return, because once you put your foot on the path to seeking knowledge, God guides you, God motivates you, God inspires you, God opens up things, and you never return. You never return.
That's right.
Because nobody knows it all. You don't. Your mama don't. Nobody knows
it
all but God, and inspires you and leads you in the right direction. We got to
call. No, you're absolutely correct.
Yep.
Once you start down that road of knowledge, of the knowledge, and you know, Urugu is so... It's so so sneaky.
He's evil.
He blurs that into your faith, into your religion. You know, it was the tree of knowledge.
Yeah.
Well, if it was such a tree of knowledge, why y'all are white people in this book? And why do these Africans have these white names? Matthew, Mark, I got a lot of whys, bro, because I don't understand how they blend all this in, so there's confusion. But when I speak to someone who's conscious, whose eyes have been opened, they get it. They can explain it and make it make sense. Like you explained it to those children, what black history, where it came out of struggle. It came out of not being seen. It came out of being the invisible people that we were. How can you not? It's like homeless people. People get up every day and go to work and step over those homeless people and go to work.
Yep.
The same way they do black people in this country. So they don't see you.
Yeah. So Carter G. Woodson started Black History Month in February to honor Frederick Douglass. He also said Abraham Lincoln, but I don't use Lincoln because Lincoln didn't give a damn about us. And at the time, Carter G. Woodson probably didn't know that. You know, because Lincoln was the great emancipator, all that bullshit, Emancipation Proclamation, all that kind of thing. So bump Lincoln, bump him. But he didn't know, Frederick Douglass didn't know when his birthday was, but his mother told him, "You are my heart, you are my Valentine." So he chose February 14th to be his birthday. And so Carter G. Woodson started Black History Month in that week, and it evolved into Black History Month back in the 70s. It evolved into Black History Month.
That must be old. I remember that. I remember when it was Black History Week.
Yep.
I remember that.
He must be old. You are.
I must be old, bro. Yeah. I remember the Black History Week.
Yeah.
And all you heard was Martin Luther King Jr.
Right. Martin Luther King Jr. or Booker T. Washington or George Washington Carver. Because you learn. You were not going to learn about anybody who was resisting. You weren't going to learn about Harriet Tubman. You sure the hell wasn't going to learn about Nat Turner. They didn't want nobody resisting. And we sure ain't going to talk about nobody who killing white folks, okay? Give your ass any ideas about killing white folks, killing your oppressor.
Even,
so,
the movies. Right, you're right.
So, Carter G. Woodson started that. And there's a quote by Drusilla Dungy Houston, because he started it in 1926. In 1926, the same time that he started that, Drusilla Dungy Houston wrote her book, The Wonderful Ethiopians of the Ancient Kushite Empire.
Wow.
The Wonderful Ethiopians of the Ancient Kushite Empire. And she has a quote that I think is the most dynamic quote. She says, out of archaeology, ethnology, paleontology, as well as history, I have dug up an irrefutable arsenal of facts that not even Harvard or Yale or even cowardly scholarship in our people can dare not refute. And this is the most deep part of the quote. She says, how can a leadership point the way forward that is utterly ignorant of the past? That's what I'm saying. That's deep, ain't it? Yeah, Drusilla Dungy Houston, that is utterly ignorant of the past. That's what I'm saying. If you don't know your history, then you may not understand your present. And therefore, you can't prepare and visualize and prepare for a future. Because we're utterly ignorant of our past. Once again, we were trained to believe that we were running around the jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, never having created anything of significance or any culture of any kind. You know, we got some callers. Let me get this caller
here.
Wow,
that was too deep, Bob. You stopped me in my tracks with that. Go ahead. Wow.
All right. Good afternoon, my brother. How you doing, or sister?
Obochi.
Ah, yes, it is. I thought it was Brother Paul. How you brother doing, Paul. There, brother? How are you today?
Well, I think I'm alive and kicking. So let me just extend my courtesy and give thanks for life.
Right on,
Baba Ochi. Absolutely. Baba Ochi, you know, something Brother Herb said, and it tricked my mind, is something which made me think. I was thinking about a few days ago, and I want to address him on it, if you don't mind.
Sure,
I have your permission
please.
To do that.
No, go ahead, please, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Brother Irv, many times when you come on this platform, you talk about homosexuality and transvestites, etc.
Right, yeah.
And I get the impression it troubles you a lot. Yeah. You see, and you said today that, you know, we need to talk about it. Yeah, okay. But let me ask you, we talk about it and then what do?
And then we act accordingly. We act appropriately. I don't want you to get the wrong impression. I don't hate anybody. I don't hate it. There's no hate in my speech. I dislike it because of the hypocrisy that's being put on us in the United States. This is being forced down your throat here. It's not a choice. It's you're going to do this. Your children are going to learn this. They're going to do that. So that's the problem I have with the whole homosexual, LGBT, ABCD people, because I don't like the fact that you're just like, you can't make me be a Christian. You can't make me wave your flag. Why should I have to put your, is the red, black, and green flag flying? So why is the LGBT flag flying? Does that make any sense to you, Baba Paul?
Brother, I get it. Yeah, I hear your explanation, but I'm going to ask you again for the sake of clarity and good order. What do we do? What do we do?
We have the conversation. Everything starts with a word. You must have the conversation first, so that we can know way forward, because everyone has to have input. But when you start canceling people, then you don't have everyone's input. So what we do is we have an honest conversation about it, whatever your honesty consists of. Let's talk about it. Let's not just scream at each other and tell you what I don't like and what you tell me what you think I said. You can hear me. I'm talking clear as day. You understand what I'm saying? I said, let's have a conversation. And from the conversation, we can have a way forward. Does that make any sense? I mean, just to ask you, does that make it a little clearer?
No, it does, but I'm still troubled. And I tell you why I'm troubled.
Tell me.
Baba Ochi, yeah? Can you clarify this for me? You know, one of the, I don't know, I might be wrong and right on this. I just picked this up and I can't remember where I picked it up from. One of the reasons that devil in Florida, DeSantis, gave for pushing, banning so-called Black history, African-American history, American-African history, is that it was included a lot of alternative lifestyles stuff in it, in that curriculum. Is that true or not?
That I don't know. That I don't know. Only thing I do know is that there are African-centered scholars who are pushing the idea, you know, that challenge Caucasian scholars just as it was done when it first started coming on the scene back in the 70s, you know, into the 80s, where you had these Caucasian historians who were challenging Dr. John Henry Clark, challenging, you know, Asa Hilliard, and we were kicking their ass, because the fact of the matter is where we were coming from were narratives of truth, and also to challenge biblical, because biblical scholars were coming with narratives of faith that were not historical, you know. So, you know, the problem, of course, is that history, Caucasian's history, is ugly. So when I point out how evil they were, the lynchings, to deny our humanity and so forth, the segregation, all these things, that looks bad. You know, just like Condoleezza, ugly-ass Condoleezza Rice, talking about the Caucasian children, when you bring this kind of history, making them feel bad. Well, damn it, they made us feel real bad for many years with the denial of our history and the stuff that they had presented in history about us, you know? And I'm not saying that we should do anything, but we should tell the truth. Paul, we should tell the truth.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, why I brought in that DeSantis stuff, I can't remember, and I have to look it up, but I heard it somewhere, mm-hmm. Yeah? And one of the reasons he was giving his, or he said, he don't want his children learning some stuff, yeah, about this. And I was talking to a lecturer who's based in America at Howard University. I was speaking to on the phone, and I brought up this subject about homosexuality, and I said the homosexual agenda, and then we got into a big row, because they said to me, what do I mean the homosexual agenda? I said, what do you mean what I mean the homosexual? You know what I mean, the homosexual agenda. It's an agenda, isn't it? And then we just went down one hell of a road. And basically this person was basically saying, you know, I think they were trying to say there's no agenda. It's just, you know, sometimes people are, I understand what they were saying. Sometimes people are abused, and sometimes all kind of things happen to them where they turn that way or whatever, right? But I was kind of surprised, being that I this person who lectures at Howard University, who comes across very conscious, and I believe we're very conscious, would defend it so much. And to be honest with you, they raised some quite profound points, which I could not disagree with. Okay, if you've been abused, or abusers abuse other people, or you've been turned that way, even Irritated Genius said that, you know what I mean? Many of these, when he was on that course, he said many of these people have been abused, and he was talking about abuse within our community, or within the African-American community, mm-hmm. Pedophilia, rape of children, and et cetera, which we don't want to talk about. But he took that on. But hear what? This is what I mean, right? This is what I say. I heard the Nation of Islam some time ago. They had a brother who looked into this deeply, and it really changed my mind the way I see things, because he said, he was talking about And he had the brother, you know, the brother Baba Olchi, you know, the brother who found out about that chemical where they were putting into foods or changing sexes and interfering with
brother Wesley Muhammad. Hormones. Yeah,
Wesley Muhammad.
Wesley Muhammad.
But he had a scientist, didn't he? And I can't remember the name of the scientist who worked with that chemical. He was the one who said this chemical is changing the sexes, interfering with hormones, and him interfering with all kind of behaviors, right? And that Wesley Muhammad done some really in-depth studies with that brother, right? Now the point I'm trying to make is that that's why I asked what we're gonna do, right? But really, we talk, but we talk a lot. We talk so much, and we've been talking for 400 years, and I can't say not much has been happened, but not enough has been done. Look, the reality of it is this: that going back to Wesley Muhammad, there's evidence that they are, and he talked about the gay bomb. That's another thing he talked about, the gay bomb, and that sounds like a joke, but if you look into it, it's very real. It's very real. The Americans, the so-called Uncle Sammy's clan, devised a bomb where they were going to drop on a particular country, which would turn the soldiers gay. Mm-hmm. And it's not a joke. It's
right?
Real,
no, it's not.
Right?
You're right. I've heard of it too. Yeah. Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
So the point I'm trying to make, when I say, "What do we do?" Right? We can't just keep talking, because that's taking us nowhere. The bottom line is this: we have to deal with the attack, because yes, there is an offensive going on. The offensive is in the food. mRNA technology is what they're using, right?
Yeah,
they do it in the crops. They use it in the crops to change the DNA of the crops, and they're using it on humans, us. So we can keep talking, but at some stage we got to do something. And what I'm suggesting that we do, right, is start. I mean, you know, we're talking. There, it's in the bloody schools. They're teaching the school in the to be homosexuals. And what are we doing? Talking. Listen, brother, I don't mean to. Look, I ain't here to beg no friends. I'm going to be honest with you. For years, I've been coming on radio here and many, and then you have to throw me off because I ain't here to beg no friends. And I get fed up of us patting each other on the back and pretending that we're all lovely and nice. Right. Because the reality, we ain't doing nothing. They are attacking the children in the schools with this. You know what? I'm going to finish with this. You know what really turned my stomach? Where I used to live, one day there was a big argument, and I looked out my window, and it was a couple. It was a couple having a domestic dispute. The thing is, they brought it out on the street. That's why I heard it. And I looked, and it was loud, and everybody looking out the window. And one of the brothers had kind of dreadlocks. The other, I'm just describing it. Tall brother, big brother, and the other, this nice looking woman. You know, and they're shouting in the street. So anyway, I tried to walk over. I thought, boy, you know what? Anyway, there was a little boy there hanging on to the man, and it was like he was pushing her away, and she was saying, "Take him." It must have been his son. Anyway, okay. After that happened. Anytime I saw that little boy, I'll talk to him. You know, I mean, address him. How are you? Blah, blah, blah. How's your mom? How's your dad? How you getting on him? Whatever. Anyway, I didn't see him for a while. And then one day I saw this boy, you know, Baba Olchi. And I tell you, if I tell you, I could have cried, man. I could have cried like a baby. When I looked at him, oh, God, man, even as I'm speaking, it's turning my belly. He had some things in his hair, yellow and green and... Man, I tell you, man, I was so shocked. Young, he must have been 14, 15 at the time. And I was so in shock that I couldn't even speak. It was just wickedest thing I've ever seen. Whatever he was or whatever he's identifying is, I didn't know, right? The point I'm trying to make is this, when you see this happen, and I often thought, obviously, his home life wasn't fantastic. Mom and dad in the street fighting, whatever was going on with him. You know, on a scheme like that. Look, they are attacking our children, right? And really, we're not doing nothing. And that's what really turns my stomach, Olchi. I'll be honest with you. There's a group that I follow, right? It's in America, right? I forget, Mass something or another. You know the truth? It's a white group, to be honest with you. I don't even know a black group who does this. They go into schools, go into libraries. It's a right-wing group. They go into libraries, they shut down libraries, they take out books, doing all kind of things. The only people in England who are doing anything,
not the blacks. The blacks are, you know what, I don't even want to talk the truth about what's going on here. It's the only ones I see doing anything are the Muslims. The Muslims outside schools, shutting down schools, causing noise, going into parliament. We are just talking. Look, that talking ain't going to solve nothing. So, yeah, we're frustrated about this thing, but we can't just be frustrated about it. We say we defend the children. We ain't even defending the children. They are turning our children into all kind of stuff. You understand? And I'm sorry to be the elephant in the room or the children who has to tell the king he has no clothes on. But the reality of it is that's our reality right now.
Brother Paul, I love when you speak, but you don't have to say you're sorry. You don't have to apologize for anything that you say. Now, you can do whatever you want. But let me tell you one thing, and I'm going to leave it there, because I'm going to tell you the reason that the homosexuals are coming for the children. I'm going to tell you that the only reason that they're coming for the children is because they can't have any. So that's the issue. They can't have children. Homosexuality is the end of civilization. And if you don't believe it, put a bunch of homosexual men on an island and come back in 40 years and see what you got. A bunch of dead men. Because they can't reproduce. So that's all this is about. And I don't mean to holler and scream, Brother Paul, but I get passionate about this because people are doing things. They're not doing things that you see. They may not be doing things that are as big as people with the resources, but people are doing things. But social disruption is a beautiful thing. Let me finish my thought. Social disruption is beautiful. I love it when I see these people throwing blood on meat coats and going out in the water and talking about save the ocean and the fish. I love that. But that's not my calling. My calling is to do it the way I do it, the way I do it for me. And you can't, or anybody else in the world can't tell me how I should do my revolt. Because the pain that I have is just as much pain as you have, Brother Paul. I feel the same way you do. We're on the same.
I'm going to push you back because you said something there and I'm going to show you. It ain't just about you, you know. It's about your feelings.
Why must we spend all this time on this monkey nonsense, man? Let the monkey stay in the cage.
Hold on, Jay. Hold on. Go ahead. Go ahead, Paul.
It's always going to be about the collective, yeah? It's going to be about the collective. And what it's really about, some people miss the point, it's about the children and what they're doing to the children. That is what it's about. And Brother Herb said another thing, well, I'm going to have to push him back on. He said they're doing it because they can't have children. That's not the truth. You know, I just told you about mRNA vaccine. Do you know what these people are doing? You know, if you fully understood transhumanism, because I know you don't, if you understood it, you wouldn't even say that. These people, transhumanism, they're trying to bring a movement. It's a movement. It's a 20-year-old movement. And you say they can't have children. They can have children.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Hold on. Hold on, both of y'all. Let me say this. I pointed out about homosexuals' the ability to have children I'd say at least 4 or 5 years ago, and I still have that information. There's an artificial womb that can be created where they can. But let me say this. I'm going to go to Brother Jay. So y'all hold your comments. I'm going to go to Brother Jay. Brother Jay, what's up?
Hey, I would just like to know, when you go to the zoo, do you ever see the monkey go into the gorilla cage and tell the gorilla what they should do?
No.
What would the gorilla do if the monkey go into the cage and tell the gorilla, you should do this, you should think that, you should do this, you should do that?
The gorilla would pound
him. The gorilla would tell the monkey, take your ass back to your cage and handle your business. Yeah. Stop coming into my cage telling me what I should do. You know what I mean? Sometimes you just got to ignore these monkeys, man. Because if you notice, the monkey always bring confusion into what's being said to put forward their agenda. But when they go back to the monkey cage, they ain't shit.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
All they right, ain't Jay.
Shit. They need to just be able to handle the monkey business.
All right.
But listen, let me get to this point, OC.
All right, quickly.
The point is this. in regards to homosexuality, like Brother Irv said, they can't produce. And if they do produce, it's artificial production, right, just like you saying, Brother Oshie.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is, as African people, that's not part of who and what we are. We did not bring that filth into this society, into the world. That was not how we lived. That was not how we produced. And it can't produce anything of value. Name me a Twisted Sister Monkey Man that you would follow in anything that's bringing forward clear and logical ideas. And no, I don't want to hear nothing about no damn Baldwin or no rabbit freak Barrett Rustin or any of them generals.
Okay.
They are foul emotionally, physically, and if you want to be truthful, intellectually. But please keep the monkey in his cage.
All right, Jay.
Jay.
Woo. All right.
Baba Oshie?
I know, man. You, Brother Ted, good afternoon.
Brother Ted.
Good afternoon, Baba Oshie and the rest of the callers. Thank you for picking my call. I'm curious to know, by any chance, would you happen to be familiar with a gentleman by the name of Cleo Monago?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Do you know about what his philosophy is about?
He's supposed to be an African-centered intellectual who happens to also be homosexual,
be
gay. You know. Which guy used to have him on his program back in the day, about 3 or 4 years ago. excuse me, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Take it down.
Yeah, but he would have him on his program, and of course he would come up with some good points, understandable, but the fact that, and he wouldn't espouse those things on the program. It just so happened that he did say that he was homosexual, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'm just curious, just listening. I'm still bouncing and ping-ponging around and stuff, so I'm listening and chiming off and chiming back in. But thank you for your patience, and as always,
no, thank
listening
you, brother.
To the call.
Brother, I want to thank you for listening. I really do. I don't know if we ever say that to you, but thank you for listening.
Hey, it's part of me now. It's integrated. It's part of my psyche now and fabric to ensure that I, at least, if no more than about 15 minutes, to at least check in. So if nothing else. But thank you so very much for the compliment.
All right, brother.
Thank you.
Peace. Sister Habia.
Yeah, Before greetings to you. And I was listening to the program, and I'm agreeing with you, Baba Oshie, agreeing with you, Herb, and agreeing with you, Paul. And this homosexual agenda is really a serious problem. Okay, Dr. Umar Johnson spoke about the political aspects of it. Is, you know, they're going to school and having little boys want to, like you talked about earlier, to remove their genital parts, their penis, and say they want to be a girl. And what happens when you do this, because he was saying they're moving from the homosexual to the transvestite too. So when you do this, when you castrate the young men and then castrate the girls at a young age, then they cannot reproduce. And it's like a genocide thing too that we have to be aware of.
Yes.
It is a vicious attack too. And also it's a political thing because Biden and all these schools, they are going to HBCU, and they're pushing the homosexual thing. They're giving money for homosexual ideals. And so it's like it's a bombardment against our children and, trying to perpetrate this atrocity. It's not a, so it's that, and it's very un-African. And like we said, so I think that we are doing something by talking about it. Because a lot of people, they're just accepting it, you know, and they're saying, well, my children, if they want to do this, then I'm not going to say anything. It's okay. But it's not okay. So we need to stand firm that it's not okay.
Yeah.
And education. I mean, we got black schools, you know, our independent black schools teaching about it. And we got to be teaching them the African way.
Right. And I agree with you, my sister. I'm running out of time.
You're out of time.
Yeah, we get Brother Paul just for a comment. But, you know, I know that me and Brother Ayo Kamathi were in Baltimore at the Ron Daniels piece. And, of course, the Black Lives Matter, which, of course, was started by homosexual women, which has a serious homosexual agenda. That's why there's some issues surrounding that, you know. And the brother was attacked, and I definitely defended Brother Ayo, you know, because he was being attacked, you know. But to me, that this homosexual agenda must be dealt with. Brother Paul, you got the last word on this before I go to Mama Nabantu.
All right, listen, you know, let me just say this. You know, the monkey's much smarter than the gorilla. The gorilla's big and he's big and brawn, but the monkey's got a better brain than him. He outsmarts the gorilla every time. But hear what now? Baba Ochi.
Yes.
Let me just say this, yeah? It's a serious point, and I understand Brother Herb's frustration. But listen, the reality of it is we can't just talk on the subject, man. You know, I haven't got children in school. I've got grandchildren in school now, and it bothers me every day. I know I have to do more. So I've just recently made an application to sit on the board in the school because I have to. We have to do more.
Right
we
on.
Can't just be talking. They ain't going to get us nowhere. So let that ape know. The monkey always outsmarts that gorilla. Take care.
Right on. Mama Nabantu, go ahead.
All right.
Here we go, y'all family. Here, family. Here we go.
For the fruition of African power, for the triumph of African nationhood, we pledge to our nation to the building of a better people and a better world, our total devotion, our total resources, and the total power of our mortal lives. We are the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. We pledge to think African, speak African, pray African, love African, laugh African, dance African, because we are African. We'll do African things today to ensure a united African states tomorrow. On the count of Tatsu, let's all say Harambe 7 times. Moja and Billy Tatsu. Harambe.
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 Hey, let's pull together, brothers.
Let's pull together, family. Let's pull it together. Thank you, brother and sisters. Thank you, Mama Nabantu. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure as hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Vahardie. Bibi Vahardie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Family, hope to see you on Friday, where my guest will be the Minister of Wellness, Brother Nathaniel. All right, peace, family.